You know, you don't sing well.
The pilot, an Ortolan, old enough that his trunk was graying, sounded resigned. He sat in the double-wide pilot's seat, which was reinforced against his great weight, and leaned away from the navigator as though those extra centimeters might save him from a few sour notes. The navigator, a young human ensign in the blue of the Alliance Navy, smiled and replied in song, his voice cracking and off-key.
I know I don't, but the more I sing,
the more I suffer,
the better I get.
That remains to be proven.
The navigator smiled and stretched. Things were looser in the support and supply division of the Navy. Its personnel were almost irregulars, expected to observe all naval regulations when planetside, in uniform, or on regular Navy ships, but more like civilians the rest of the time. The bridge of this cargo vessel was spacious. The captain was tolerant, the crew was loose, and the pilot was a good sport, despite his grumbling. And the view out the forward viewports was gorgeous. The ship was now in hyperspace, somehow sideways from real space, and abstract lights that might be glimpses of stars in real space twisted and flowed past in a dazzling stream. The navigator sang again.
Coming out of the deep core, heading for my home, getting leaving Corellia, gonna put on my dance shoes, gonna find me a lady.
Gonna sing to her, at which point she will shoot you. You're making my tusks crack.
Hey!
A light on the main control board blinked, then went out. The streams of colors outside suddenly stopped their movement, contracting into single points of light. There was no sensation of deceleration, not like in an atmospheric craft, but the navigator felt as though he should have been thrown out of his seat by the sudden departure from hyperspace. He turned to the pilot.
What the hell?
Our escorts are not on the sensor screen. What's our position?
The navigator checked his star map, did a quick calculation.
2 hours out of Corellia. Empty space.
The comm board clicked, and a woman's voice sounded over it.
Bridge, Captain, what's going on?
Captain,
the pilot reported, his voice beginning to climb in pitch.
We've had a sudden unexpected departure from hyperspace. We're showing no damage. Our escorts did not drop with us. Correction. There's one. Wait a second. That's not ours. We're being approached by a capital ship. Unknown type. It's not signaling.
Sound alert. All hands to battle stations. Send an emergency signal to the nearest naval base. I'll be right up.
The comm board clicked again. The navigator felt himself break out in a sweat. He looked at the pilot.
Should I?
Is the hyperdrive functional?
Negative.
Then handle the comm. Don't need a navigator to point away from the enemy and hit all thrusters.
As the navigator flipped through the unfamiliar maze of communication screens, he felt himself being pressed back in his seat, just a little, as the ship's inertial compensators did not quite keep up with the pilot's acceleration. Finally, he found the screen to activate the ship's hypercom on an emergency naval frequency.
This is Galactic Alliance ship Rinkin 4, inbound to Corellia. We have an emergency. Please reply. Over.
The door into the bridge slid open. The captain, a middle-aged woman with posture as straight as a spear, strode in.
Situation?
Something clattered on the deck behind her. Out of the corner of his eye, the navigator saw it. A silvery ovoid some 75 centimeters long, with a small dial and a tiny screen on one side. Something in the navigator's memory whispered.
Grenade.
He acted without thinking. Acted with the decisiveness and honor that others had once seen in him, that would have eventually forced him to become a fine officer. He threw himself atop the grenade.
Get!
Curiously, the detonation did not lift him off the deck plates, did not hurl his burning body to one side. It didn't even really make a boom, just a pop noise. Then there was a hiss, and the navigator saw opaque white smoke flow out from underneath him, flooding the bridge. It numbed his skin where it touched him. He breathed it in before he could check himself and abruptly felt dizzy, listless. There was an impact as the captain fell atop him. He could not turn his head to see if she was face up or face down. There were footsteps on the deck plates in the corridor outside, and the navigator saw a pair of feet and lower legs. They were garbed in a civilian environment suit, something that would protect its wearer from toxic environments, like this one. The navigator's eyes closed, and he knew only blackness.